So there's a pretty blunt warning from the Aboriginal Drug and Alcohol Council today that crystal meth, or ice as it's commonly referred to, it's now cheaper to buy than a takeaway pizza. Now, I don't have any way of proving if that is actually the case in Alice Springs, in Castor and in Palmerston, but I think the message is pretty clear. Ice across Australia is a real problem. Aboriginal Drug and Alcohol Council CEO Scott Wilson's warning, it isn't actually based on stats or the cost of a pizza. His incredibly blunt warning, this issue of ice touching a massive number of Indigenous families, it's because it has in fact touched his own family, his daughter Jasmine. Hello, Scott. Hello, Jasmine. You are a drug and alcohol counsellor, Scott. Was there a sense of failure as a counsellor for you, but also as a dad, when you learnt that your own child had become an addict?
Yeah, to a certain extent, yeah, you're right. And it wasn't just my daughter, it was also my son, and I've got nieces and nephews that currently live in Darwin because I'm originally from Darwin. And have relatives in Brisbane as well. So, yeah, it was, considering that, you know, I would have thought my kids would have grown up with myself and also my partner sort of, you know, because we've been doing this job for 25 years next year, that they would have probably been more insulated against the effects of drugs than perhaps other children. But so when eventually it came to the realisation that, you know, they had a pretty heavily drug addiction, it was a bit of a shock. And I suppose to a certain extent I was a bit like an ostrich because it was so close to home that I sort of probably, to a certain extent, turned a blind eye in not actually believing that my daughter had gone down this track. There was that sense of failure, but obviously, you know, it's like any parent out there today. You know, you bring your kids up, you try to give them the best that you can. And unfortunately, along comes something that makes them feel really good at the time, and unfortunately, that'll take a hold of them, and, you know, they can either come through it, as my daughter has, or unfortunately a lot of people don't. And, you know, the jails, the mental health facilities, rehabs, and unfortunately the cemetery are full of people who haven't come through.
Jasmine, you were a full-blown ice addict, using up to 5 times a day. I assume you knew what Dad did for a job and the damage that drugs do to people. What compelled you to try ice?
I guess for me personally, I got 2 kids. I had, you know, a mortgage. I was working, had a marriage, and life was just not going very well. You know, things were getting on top of me, and literally just decided one day that, oh, I'll try it and, you know, see if it makes me feel a little bit better. And I don't only have my parents' work that I've grown up around. I also am currently finishing a master's in Indigenous health substance misuse. So I think one of my key messages is that education alone really isn't enough to tackle this issue, because I knew all of the dangers. I knew, you know, anything you can possibly know about, not just, say, crystal meth, but addiction itself. And the only thing that I can say, maybe that possibly helped me then break away from the addiction, but to actually stop me from, you know, it didn't really do anything.
This might sound like an odd question, but what does it feel like? What is it about this drug ice that people want to be on it?
I think for me the key difference is it works on your dopamine system, and so Your dopamine system is essentially like your survival system. So when you get up in the morning, your body is given dopamine. When you eat, your body's given dopamine. When you, you know, do things throughout the day that, you know, are goals you've set for yourself and you achieve them, like you get dopamine. When you win a gold medal, you get overloaded with this drug. And so actually, you know, from my perspective, you quickly caught in a cycle of, when you're not on the drug, all of the issues that you're trying to avoid and not deal with are literally hammering you into the ground. And then you can go and take it and you literally have the ability to forget about all of those issues. It makes you feel like you've, you know, been to work that day, you got the kids to school on time, you know, you just got a job promotion and you've paid your mortgage, you know, it literally just makes your brain believe that everything is perfect.
And I appreciate that you cannot speak for all ICE addicts.
But
In your observation as a user and possibly spending time with other users, is it a situation that ICE allows the user to be free of reality, free of the troubles and the burdens? Is that really the attraction?
It really is. I think it's part, like, that's actually what the drug does to you. And then it's a combination of, like, I know a lot of people who you can lose everything really quickly. And so then it's a scenario of, you know, it's kind of just throwing your hands up in the air and going, well, you know, I can't fix this, so I may as well do that. And you very much quickly get caught in a cycle of, you know, if you're not continuing to do it, life isn't that great. And that was one of the main things that I sort of am still struggling with now, because like next week it'll be a year since I checked myself into detox and stopped using, and I'm still dealing with a lot of the consequences of my, you know, just inaction or things that I did while I was using, now 12 months later. And so, you know, that's really hard to deal with, but I think that's the thing with life is, with this drug, you know, you have the ability to get up every day and every day be a great day. And so then when you stop using, you don't have the ability to just click your fingers and turn a shit day into a good day.
Jasmine, using five times a day, what's the financial cost to pay for that amount of drug use?
It varies. Like, when you're in a position that you have more money around, it's funny, people actually will throw drugs at you. And so you get caught up in a cycle where, okay, you'll buy in bulk, just so to speak, to try and get more product or have it last longer. And with meth, it's the type of drug that it just continually gets used until it's gone. And so, yeah, the cost goes through the roof. I was spending upwards of $500, you know, for majority of my addiction between me and, you know, someone else. And, you know, through the good times, it just meant that we spent more money on drugs rather than having the money to do things that were, you know, causing us upset, like pay for our bills or have money to take our children out or go on a holiday. I think the problem with meth is it's not just the, like, monetary value that it takes from you. Because of all of the damage that it is doing in the community, I think there's a lot of, like, stigma for meth users these days. And so it's, like, the mental aspect, I think, hits all meth users, and anxiety, depression, all of these sorts of things. And I actually think that these costs to the community are far greater than a couple of dollars here and there, because you have people who, you know, they were set up, they had jobs, they had educations, you know, they had houses, whatever, and very quickly they've not just lost that, but they lose hope. And there are a lot of people out there suffering who, even when they get to the point that they outreach for that help, the help's not available. So, yeah.
Let's talk about the cost. You use that word a lot. Scott, how would you describe the cost of Jasmine's addiction on your relationship?
Well, I suppose at the time, you know, there was a lot of mistrust, really, because, you know, all of a sudden we'd be getting letters with her mortgage wasn't being paid and, you know, a whole range of other things. And, like, you know, this is Jasmine, her and her partner owned were paying off two houses, had three cars, really good paying jobs. That all sort of disappeared within a short period of time. She's living with me and my partner, my wife, her and her kids. So there was a lot of mistrust. You know, things started disappearing from the house, and I'm not actually saying that Jasmine was taking anything, because, you know, I have a son who also is still a meth user. And so, you know, we lost well over $20,000 worth of jewellery in the space of a year that just sort of just vanished. You know, not counting on top of that perhaps all the cash that sort of, you know, disappeared out of your wallet and things like that. So, you know, at one stage there I was sort of thinking the police most will open up an office in our street, because they tended to be at our place quite often.
Your personal experience, which I have to say you're telling, it's quite heartfelt, but I hear it in your voice that it's had an impact on you and your family. This experience, as you say, both your son and your daughter addicted to ice, has it changed the way that you counsel addicts in your day-to-day job?
To a certain extent, because, you know, to me, I've been doing this job for a long time, you know, and I used to use heroin myself when I grew up in Darwin, and I, you know, am probably the Drug and Alcohol Council's poster boy in terms of, you know, I had an alcohol and a drug problem myself. But at the end of the day, what we try and do is addiction, and yes, you've got a nice addiction, but we try and sort of get people to either, you know, make sure that they're safe in the first place, try and actually get them, encourage them to sort of seek help and try and work with them and try and sort of follow up with them when they leave as well. Because it's not necessarily about, yes, you can get somebody into rehab, but it's when they actually leave and go back into society that if those support networks aren't available, then that person obviously, you know, it doesn't take long before somebody relapses. And I suppose, you know, to give Jasmine credit, like she said, she's coming up to a year now where she hasn't actually used. And to be surrounded by people all around her that are actually still using, whether they use daily or whether they use just when they get paid. And for her not to go back down that track is actually a success story. And I suppose it's those sorts of things that keep people like myself and obviously the people in some of the rehab services in Darwin, at Banyan House and out at CAPS. When you do sort of have success stories, you know, you actually sort of, it does make you feel good that you've actually been able to help somebody get back on track and stay on track.
Jasmine, that is, of course, the good news, that you checked yourself into a detox centre and you've now been clean and free of this drug for almost 12 months. In that time, have you been drawn back? Has there been any sort of relapse where you've really had to hang on tight?
If I'm honest, like, I fell back on, like, I drink alcohol. So there was a period in July when a lady who was close to me, she passed on, and I really wanted to go and use then. I knew that it would make me, you know, forget about everything. But because of everything that I'd already lost and being surrounded by people who still use as a double-edged sword, where it's tempting, but I can also see the fight half an hour after they use, and, like, I can see their intentions and then, you know, the mark's not hit the next day. And so although the temptation's been there, for me personally, the fact that I was able to actually escape the cycle, yeah, I wouldn't go back for the world.
In Alice Springs right now, in Katherine, Nhulunbuy, Jabiru, Palmerston, right across the Northern Territory, Your story is touching hearts, but what is your message?
My message is love yous. If you haven't or you're not a user, please don't even bother. I literally tried it just as a bit of fun and, you know, it was an 18-month roller coaster. If you're currently a user, please seek some help, regardless of if it's to stop, to cut down, even just to let the people around you who are watching your suffering in a little bit. People don't mean to be nagging you. I swear to God, they just love you and they're concerned about you. Yeah, Merry Christmas.